Morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is Alison and I'm married to Brian, director. Excellent. I'm just going to open in prayer. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word, which stands forever. We thank you, Lord God, that we live in a country where we can freely hear, read, and discuss your word. We thank you for the freedom of our nation, and we thank you for the freedom that you've brought us through the death of your son Jesus on the cross. And we pray now that your word would truly live in us and bear much fruit to your glory. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing our series, which is called David, a man after God's own heart. And today's reading from 2 Samuel 7 was David receiving his plans, or getting the vision and the plans to build the temple of the Lord. Last week we saw how David danced before the Lord with all his might when he brought the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God, into Jerusalem. And the Ark represented the very presence of God in the midst of his people. And so we've also seen with the life of David that he's had this incredible heart after God. And today we heard how that David now has peace from all his enemies, and now he wants to build a house or a temple where God can be worshipped and where the Ark of God can be placed in the midst of it. However, Nathan the prophet has said to David that he is not the one to build the temple, but it will be his offspring, his son, who shall build a house for his name. Now, this story is actually told in 1 Chronicles as well, in much greater detail. So I'm going to expand it from the book of Chronicles to see what else is happening amongst this story of David getting this vision and plan to build this temple for the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 28 verse 3, it says, "Then King David rose to his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had planned to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made preparations for the building. But God said to me, "You shall not build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and you have shed blood." And then it says a bit further on, "Your son Solomon shall build the temple because he is a man of peace." And then in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 11 to 13, we see that David actually gives Solomon the plans for the temple, all its courts, its treasuries, the inner chambers. And David also gives Solomon the plans that he's made and the preparations for the priests and the Levites who are going to be the ones ministering in this temple for their specific work of service in the house of the Lord. In verse 19 in 1 Chronicles 28, David actually says that these plans were given to him directly from the Lord. This is what the verse says. "All this, in writing at the Lord's direction, he made clear to me the plans of all the works." So David actually received from God the actual plan for the temple, what it was going to look like, how it was going to function, and then the priests and the Levites and the other people involved in the service of the Lord. And in other parts of the Bible, we find that David's heart was to have praise and worship and prayers rising to God 24 hours a day, every day of the week, forever and ever. That was his plan. And he got all the rosters happening for the musicians and singers, the Levites and the priests, so that there would be continuous worship of the Lord coming from the temple. What an amazing heart and vision he had for the Lord. So as a result of this vision, David, knowing that he wasn't the one to build it, he still collected, provided, and prepared for many of the materials needed to build and also to furnish the temple and its inner sanctuary. These are listed in the Bible as gold, silver, bronze, iron, precious stones, wood, and marble. So David is collecting all these precious things and the materials that Solomon's going to need for this temple, because he's seen the vision, he can see it in his mind, and he's gathering everything that's needed for it. 1 Chronicles 29:4 gives the amount of the gold and silver that David collected for the temple. First, it says he collected 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver. So I've done a little bit of checking out what that is, and I found that 3,000 talents of gold is equal to 101 tons. The current price for one ton of gold is $64.3 million. So he had 101 tons, and is currently equal to $6.5 billion. David had big plans for a temple to worship a big God. He had a heart for God. $6.5 billion, that's just the gold. So the 7,000 talents of silver equals 235 tons. The current price for a ton of silver is almost exactly $1 million. So as well as the gold, he also had $235 million of silver laid up, ready for this temple to be built. And of course, it also lists precious stones and all these other things and marble. And we went to Parliament House again last week, and the beautiful marble that's used in the steps going up and the banisters, they're like just one big slabs of marble. And so I can imagine that David prepared these amazing big bits of marble ready for the temple of the Lord. Then after he did that, David challenged the leaders to first of all consecrate themselves to the Lord. He wanted all the leaders, everyone involved in this building this temple, to first of all get their hearts right. He said, I want you to reconsecrate yourselves to the Lord, to get your life right so that he is number one in your life, so that your heart is filled with love for him, the greatest commandment. I want you to consecrate yourselves so that your heart is turned to God fully. And then he encouraged them to give generously to the temple. The Bible then lists exactly how much all the leaders gave of gold and silver and precious stones. There's a whole list. So it was very specific of what they were gathering for the temple of the Lord. And 1 Chronicles 29:9 says, the people rejoiced because these had been given willingly. For with single mind they had offered freely to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. It's just wonderful. And then in verses 10 to 12, it says, David blessed the Lord. And it says, then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. It's David giving thanks to the Lord. So to sum up all that, David really had a heart to first of all build a temple for the presence of God that was incredible, incredibly valuable, costly, extravagant, and beautiful. Secondly, he created an order of worship involving the priests, the Levites, the singers, the musicians, and stewards, so that the worship of the Lord would have priority and preeminence in the lives of God's people. And thirdly, he laid up an inheritance for the next generation and for all the generations to come so that they could fulfill their God-given purposes on earth. It wasn't just for them. They were gathering in the resources to build a place of worship so that the generations to come would have that there to be able to keep their hearts focused on God. We read later on in the Bible that after Solomon did build the temple according to the plans given to David, and when he dedicated it to the Lord, the Levites and priests and singers and musicians were worshiping the Lord, and the presence of the Lord filled the temple like a cloud, and the priests couldn't stand to minister because of the glory of the Lord. This wonderful presence of the Lord. You know, and then our reading today from Ephesians 2 brings us into the New Testament, where it says that we as the church are being built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So here in the New Testament, God is building us, the living stones of people, his people, into a temple where God dwells amongst us. And we know that Jesus said, wherever two or more gather, I'm there in your midst, the presence of God within us. And similarly, in 1 Peter 2:5, it says that we are like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. And the spiritual sacrifices that we offer are our prayer and worship, and not just on Sundays, every day of the week. Our lives are an offering to God. Psalm 134, verse 1 to 2 says, "Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." And 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I want everyone everywhere to lift innocent hands towards heaven and pray without being angry or arguing with each other." So that's our spiritual sacrifices when we bring our worship, our praise and our prayer to God and our thanksgiving. So we've got the template of the temple from the Old Testament, of David's heart to build a place for the presence of God so that he would dwell. We have here in the New Testament where each one of us, the Bible says, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, where God's Spirit lives within us. Once we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior and he comes into our heart by his Spirit, we individually are each a temple of God, ready to bring offerings to him. And then as a corporate body, we're being built into the temple of the Lord as well. Now, Brian had mentioned last week and also through the weekly email that he wanted to talk about some plans that God had given him, I believe, about a place where we can worship here so that we can adjust this to be able to fit in more people and make it a place of worship. And so Brian's going to come up and share. And we laughed about it because we couldn't have planned it better ourselves to have this reading about David making plans to build the temple of the week that the PC said to Brian, present it to the church this week. We thought we couldn't have prepared it better ourselves.